Okay. Okay. Now this discourse was said on a Shabbat which corresponds to the Shabbat we're coming up to. This week it's going to be Shabbat Parshat Vayeshev, and the date of Shabbat Parshat Vayeshev, just one second, tonight is the 18th. That means tomorrow. Wednesday is 18th. Thursday is Yutet Kislev. Friday is Kof, and Shabbat is Kof Alef. So it's exactly the same date. This was in 1957. 5718. 1957. And so the way the calendar worked with the Parshat HaShavua, with the Seder of the Week, was exactly the same as this year. So we're looking at a discourse which is from that Shabbat. It wasn't edited, it's an unedited discourse, but it's been published in an edition that comes out every week called Dvar Malchut, where it's been pointed and there's a commentary written on it, you know, so this is a form of excellent form of communication, actually available on the web as well. dvarmalchus.org, and they have an archive as well of previous years, so you can pick them up, these discourses. And the opening words of the discourse are Pisa Natan Levyonim Tzidkoto Amedet La'ad, which is a line in Psalms. And le fazer means to scatter, like to scatter money. And so he scattered money to the poor, his righteousness stands forever. That's this verse. He scatters money to the poor, his righteousness stands forever. Now, what we don't have this verse at the beginning. Usually I try and put the catchphrase at the beginning. But he's going to be talking about something which is from the Zohar. And so that's the English text that we have here, the text in Hebrew and English. It's from Patach Eliyahu. Do you say this in your custom, Patach Eliyahu?
Yeah, don't start and do it. I usually don't, but before Mincha they say
it. On Friday?
Every day.
Yeah, every day. I've seen it as a Sfadi custom every day. Yeah, it's a very, very interesting preparation for prayer. Among the Chabad Hasidim, they say it Friday afternoon as a preparation for Shabbat. But it's a very beautiful passage from the Zohar. And it's speaking about, see, if we just look at a few lines of it, Patach Eliyahu v'amah, Elijah opened this discourse and said, Master of the worlds, you are one without number. You are above all higher things. You are hidden beyond all hidden things. Thought cannot grasp you at all. What we're looking at, if you look at the very first page, which looks like this. Here, but it's on the back. Yeah. Did it come out?
Yeah.
Thought cannot grasp you at all. Anthud apikat asa tikunin. You brought out 10 tikunin, 10 qualities, 10 aspects, and you called them. Here it describes them as garments. V'karin lahon eses sviran, and you called them the 10 svirat, the 10 divine emanations. Lan hagabahon almin, to run through them, to run the worlds, and they're hidden. they're not revealed. The worlds which are hidden are not revealed, and also the worlds which are revealed. And then it speaks about, it goes down further, Levushin tekinatlon, you've made garments for them. It's a few lines down. And there are a number, V'chama gufin tekinatlon, you have made bodies. Now the body is really the vessel of the sphira. And they are called the body in relation to the garment. So there's the body inside the garment. So the body inside the garment, in terms of the sphira, is the vessel, so to speak, of the sphira. And then there's the radiance of the sphira, and the garments are the worlds. The garments are the worlds. So, and then I'm going to try and draw something to express this in a minute. And then it says, Chesed droa yamina, kindness is the right arm. Gevura, severity, is the left arm, and so on. So it starts speaking in these sort of physical terms, anthropological terms. So we're looking at a very Kabbalistic concept, which hopefully the discourse is going to spread, is going to elucidate for us. But in fact, we're beginning with something which is very spiritual. I think I'll just draw a little diagram to express this. If you say we have the infinite above, right? So that's God beyond any kind of description. Now, in order to get from infinity, just beyond any kind of description, in order to get from there to some point where you can use language in some way, there has to be a whole process which is described in the Lurianic Kabbalah. So all kinds of concealments, different kinds of concealment, hiding of godliness. And there is a technical term, tzimtzum. Sounds very good, and thank God it has not yet been used by any company that I know of. You know, all these mystical Jewish terms, you know, they become the name of some product or, you know, in a computer program or something. But as far as I know, no one has yet used tzimtzum, you know. But they will, unfortunately. So tzimtzum represents a kind of a hiding of the infinite. And then, what do we have below? We have the world of Atzilut. Now, the way the world of Atzilut goes, the world of emanation, right? So, emanation. So there we have the world of emanation. And lower down will be lower worlds. So in the world of emanation, we have, Chokhmah, Bina, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, kindness, severity, etc., etc., lower and lower. And so this is the vessel, right? So this green circle is the vessel, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Knowledge is over here. Kindness on the right, and severity on the left, and so on, further down. There's more sphere up coming down. And then there are the lower worlds, and the lower worlds are really the garments, as it were, of this structure. And within the sphere up is radiance. So if I put sort of, there's a radiance which comes, which is within the Sfirot, and this extends down, and then you get lower and lower till you come to our physical world, which is here. So this is the kind of the concept with which this is started. It's going to start off. It's going to speak about that. So we've entered. Yes.
I was thinking you've written some today we were making a new instrument, and we always give our instrument a name, and we called it Tzilzul.
Oh, well, Tzilzul is the name of a musical instrument in the Tanakh.
I didn't know that, but we the quality of the sound of the instrument, we try to reflect that in the name.
Tzilzulei Trua.
Yeah,
there's a verse.
A ringing sound, isn't it? A bit like a symbol or something.
Yeah, they are like symbols or something like that. So maybe a
Tzilzul comes before Tzimtzum.
Oh, right.
First you would have like the ringing, and then you'd have it. not in the instrument.
Consumed.
I was wondering, are you Israeli?
Mm-hmm.
If there are any Israeli speakers or of other words that follow that pattern,
Tzerch is to polish your brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth or to polish is the tzerch.
Yeah.
Tzerch
would be
polishing. Tzerch
with a
resh. But
tzerch
thing with a
chet. Oh, yeah, interesting. Anyway, so. Well, tzilzul is a very suitable word for your musical instrument. Mm. but is it a stringed instrument?
Yeah, it's a steel string guitar.
Oh, I see.
So it's going to have a kind of ringing
quality. A ringing quality because of the steel.
Metallic-y ringing sound that you get on a metal string guitar.
No. Mm. Interesting. Okay, so beginning with this sort of Kabbalistic dimension, we're then going to sing the Maimon Nigun in order to hopefully make more access to this whole dimension of soul. Oh, yo, ya, 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 yom, bam, bom. Ha, yada, yada, yo, yam, bom. Yamba, 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 yom, bom. Ha yiradam ba ya yiradam ba yo ya ho ya yiradam ba ya ya yo ya yiradam ba yam ba yo ha yiradam ba ha yiradam ba ho yam ba yiradam ba ha ya yam ba yiradam ba ho ya ya ho ya ya yo. Okay, so let's look at the discourse. Now we're looking at the actual Hebrew text, which was said in 1957, 5718, on Parshat Vayeshev, 21st of Kislev. Pizam natam le'evyonim, tzidkato omedet la'ad. He scattered his money to the poor, his righteousness stands forever. Umavai bezeh admu hazaken, and Rabbi Shneur Zalman, that's the founder of Chabad, who lived around 1800, and we're just coming to the 19th of Kislev, which is going to be tomorrow night, celebrates the time that he was released. The opponents of Hasidism framed him. They said that he was sending money to the enemies of Russia. He was actually sending money to Jews in the land of Israel, to the Hasidic community in the land of Israel. But they were able to prove he was sending money to Israel. Because he was sending money to Israel, Israel was ruled by the Ottoman Empire, by Turkey. So they could prove that they were saying he's sending money to the enemy, to the Turks, who were the enemies of the Russians. So he was put in prison, and he was nearly put to death. And then, thank God, he was released. And so when he was released, that was on the 19th at Kislev, which is in a couple of days' time, and that was a very special event. So that, just maybe the reason why this discourse starts off by talking about Rabbi Shneur Zalman relates to the fact that it's just after that special event, focusing on Rabbi Shneur Zalman. But he comments on this verse, and he says, "Ha'inyan hu." What this verse is really communicating is a very, very profound concept in life as a whole. Hu ma'ilat netinat hatzdaka u'gmilat chasadim is the exalted quality of giving charity and doing kind deeds, doing acts of kindness, asher medet la'ad, which stands forever, yoter mikol ahava v'yira udvekut, more than any spiritual love of God or fear of God or cleaving to God. You know, all these like very highly spiritual religious concepts, you know, that a person is filled with love of God and is a very, very spiritual individual. That's wonderful. But it's surpassed by helping other people. That basic concept. That however great the spirituality, higher than that is helping other people. And I must say, I would say that's the hallmark of Chabad in general, and the particularly the late Rebbe, their approach to life and the balance of spirituality and practical help in physical life. So in fact, there's a story about Rabbi Shneur Zalman himself. See, in 1804 was a terrible statute against the Jews, which the Tsar instituted. And it was, it ran like this. I mean, this is the reasoning for the statute. The peasants, the Russian peasants at that point in 1804, were a very drunken lot. And so whose fault was this? The Jews. Why? obviously, it was the Jews' fault, but the reason why it was the Jews' fault, in fact, there was a tangible reason why it was the Jews' fault. The Jews have found it very hard to make a living. So one thing they did, they would sometimes buy the license, the government owned the license to sell liquor. So the Jews would buy the license in that particular area, and they would set up an inn. And so the peasants came to the inn, bought vodka, got drunk, beat everyone up, you know, broke the furniture. And, you know, and this is how this poor Jewish couple managed to eke out a living and try and survive economically. So now, by the fact they are being blamed for the fact that the peasants are drunk. Okay, should they have made the vodka more expensive or not accessible? I once saw this beautiful cartoon. It was about people who found the wrong profession. So, it was actually in an Irish newspaper. So it's making fun of the Irish. It was in an Irish Jewish newspaper. So, first of all, it's making fun of the Irish. There's an Irish psychotherapist. So you've got a cartoon of the patient lying on this couch, and the psychotherapist is soliloquizing, is giving a whole long talk, you know. Paddy, I says to myself, you know, like, you know, James Joyce, the eloquent James Joyce. When you fly Aer Lingus, the Irish airline, the seats are covered with the manuscript of James Joyce's writings, you know. So that's, so it's this... this very eloquent psychotherapist who is talking and talking and talking, not letting the client get a word in edgeways. You know, the therapist is supposed to sit and listen while the client tells you about what terrible things happened when he was 4 years old. But it's not happening because he's... And then there was a Jewish barman. So the Jewish barman, that's the other, you know, misplaced career. The Jewish barman says, "You want another whiskey? That's the third one you're having. Does your mother know you're here?" Anyway, so maybe that's what the Tsar wanted the Jews to do, but they didn't. So maybe they tried to. Anyway, so they were being blamed for the drunkenness of the peasant. So as a result, the 1804 statute declared that all the Jews should be cleared out of the countryside and should be moved into the city. So there was a lot of wrangling about this, and it wasn't actually fulfilled as a decree till a few years later, 1807. And then in the winter of 1807, suddenly the Jews are like brought, the soldiers came along, dragged them out of their homes, brought them to a city somewhere and dumped them in the middle of the road in the city. And there they were in the snow with nowhere to live, nowhere to sleep. You know, the local Jewish community is going to try and look after them, but it's a very, very problematic thing. So Rabbi Shneur Zalman went collecting money for these Jews, which was supposed to pay for getting them houses, where to live, and finding some kind of occupation for them. So he came to another Hasidic Rebbe. Now, in those days, being a Hasidic Rebbe was very much a territorial matter. So, you know, there was the territory of this Rebbe and then the territory of that Rebbe. So Rabbi Shneur Zalman went out of his own territory. He was like a very significant leader, but he went out of his own territory into the territory of Reb Baruch of Medzibos. Reb Baruch of Medzibos was a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And Reb Baruch said to him, "What are you doing in my territory? Why have you come here collecting money?" He said, "Well, I'm collecting money for these poor people." Reb Baruch says, "Oh, what are you worrying about? All a tzaddik has to do is put his hand over his forehead and everything is perfect. You don't have to think about the practicalities. You know, in other words, you're a mystic. You just have to do aliyat haneshama. You know, you just have to ascend into a higher world. What are you worrying about?" So Rabbi Shneur Zalman said very pointedly, "I cannot bear the pain of the people who are there in the snow with nowhere to live. I have to do something about it." So that, to me, you know, when I read that story, I found it very, very telling. And I believe that there's a tremendous force in it. That whatever spiritual values a person might have, you know, here it's talking about very ethereal spiritual values. You know, it might be Torah study or having a wonderful synagogue. You've got to consider the pain and the needs of those who need some practical input. So that's really the theme of this discourse. And it's going to express it in sort of very like Kabbalistic terms, that however great all these spiritual realms are, it is the practical expression of Judaism and helping another person who needs help, which is higher than any of this. You know, so you could draw Kabbalistic diagrams as much as you want, but much higher than that is doing a favor to another person. So so the idea of giving charity and caring for people, it says in line 4, is higher than love and fear and dveikut. Okomoshekatov, as it's written, and we just read in this section, Patach Eliyahu, which comes from the Tikkun Ezor, Gufin Tekinat Lon, you prepared bodies, so to speak. The bodies mean the vessels of the Sfirot. V'itkariyat b'tikkun adah, and they are called chesed, kindness. Kindness, the right arm, and so on. This means, ha'inyan hu, ki neged ein sof, compared with the infinite, everything else is absolutely remote. Gam atzilut bichlal, including atzilut, including the world of emanation. How do you get to the world of emanation from the infinite? Tzarich liot mikodem, first there has to be tzimtzum. There has to be the tzimtzum, which means this utter concealment, this withdrawal. Tzimtzum literally means contraction. It's like a withdrawal of godliness. Umakom panui, and an empty space, right? Like we learnt in the Russell text. Empty space. Va'acha kach al yedei dilug, and then through a leap, Nitgale ha'arat kav b'chut, there comes the illumination of the line of light which creates the world. So there's a whole process here, which is a kind of such a heavy concealment of God, you would think that God isn't there. And then there's a kind of a leap, a flow of light which enters this area and starts creating the realm of Atzilut, the realm of emanation. Ki atzmuso sovev kol almin, because the essence of God transcends all the worlds. Af latzilut. It transcends also the world of emanation, transcends everything. Lo haya yachol lavo shum itgalut oro. There wouldn't have been able to be any revelation of divine light. Al yedei shtar shalut ilav alul. You couldn't just go step after step. Now, this is very interesting if you're looking at it in terms of the history of ideas. But you've got the concept, you could imagine like step after step, that from God to the world, it's just a matter of going step after step, and you start off with God who is infinite, and you go step after step, some kind of concealment of the radiance, till you come to this physical world. But what it's saying here is, no, that doesn't work. Because the infinite quality of the infinite, of the Ein Sof, of the infinite, is absolutely beyond. It is absolutely beyond. It's infinite. You can't talk about 10 Sfirot. You can't talk about all these Kabbalistic realms. Because it's too exalted. The only thing you can do, you can realize that there's an enormous gap. And because of this, so in the text that we were looking in the Patach Eliyahu, it says that in Atzilut, in the world of emanation, you can say God brought out 10 something. The English translation said garments. And you made, you know, uses this vocabulary, the body, so to speak, which they are the vessels for the indwelling of the radiance of the infinite, but it comes through a leap after the concealment and the tzimtzum. So there's a kind of leap. What we're looking at is a leap. And that leap is a kind of, you know, some kind of like quantum leap. In order that from the infinite there should be a world, there's a kind of a leap over a realm of complete and utter concealment and hiddenness. Now this, incidentally, it's very interesting because this has certain parallels with that Brasla Torah, the section 64. This shows the paradox of existence. That really, in order for existence to be, you see, once you've got this leap, then you have the whole downchaining of the worlds, and finally you come to the physical world that we're sitting in on the armchairs and the sofa, you know, like the real world. But in order to get to it, there has to be this gigantic leap. What the discourse is going to say is that since there is this immense gap between the infinite and all these sort of downchaining of worlds, what we have to focus on is what's beyond the gap. It's interesting, you know, where do you focus? If you're told that you could get £100,000, wow, that's a lot of money. But then you're told that there's another route, you could get £1 billion. So why go for the 100,000? Go for £1 billion. Here, there is a whole realm of spirituality here, like chaining down towards the world. And as a good Kabbalist, you could say, you know what, you know, this is where I'm at. You know, I'm at this like level over here, you know, very spiritual, holy, very beautiful. But what's much more powerful is beyond. And so the crucial thing is, how do you connect with this level beyond? And what the discourse is going to say is that the giving of charity, the care for another person, that's what reaches beyond. You can be very spiritual, you can pray in a very holy way, you can do all kinds of contemplation and go into a kind of trance when you're praying, and it's very nice, and people paint pictures on you and so on. But that's not the ultimate. The ultimate, yes.
The Siddur of the Arizal then is this, aiming at this, right?
Is down here. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And someone running a Chabad house in Mumbai is up there. Yeah, that's right. So that's the direction that the discourse is going. So it's using a lot of Kabbalistic language, but we'll get over the Kabbalistic. It's using Kabbalistic language in order to explain that the main thing is not Kabbalistic language, but helping another person. But in order to know that, you have to read the Zohar. And you know. So, yeah. Okay, so we're two lines from the bottom here. 16, line 16. Valyadei. All right, so wait a second. So we've got the point that he's describing the process of existence. So there had to be this leap of the divine radiance flowing into this world, into the world of emanation. Maybe I should try and draw it a little bit in an easier way. Hasn't come out very tidily. So let's just say like that. If we have the infinite up here, and then we have the whole world of Tzimtzum, this realm of concealment, and then we have the world of Atzilut, right? So that's coming down here, and then we have other worlds. And in that way, we come down to this physical world. So, what do we mean? There. So, that's the right number. 1, 2, 3. Okay. So, here we are. So down here is the physical world at the bottom of the picture. Physical world. What's this? Skyscraper. Not quite sure what I mean. But anyway, there it is, the world. Maybe it's a water tower. So the radiance comes jumping over the gap into the world of Atzilut. And here now we have the Jewish people in the world. Okay. So here we have, okay, these people. Now, the interesting thing is, what are they doing? If we look at line 16, Al Yedei Ava Udvekut Mi'Yisrael, through the love, the spiritual love of God, and the cleaving to God of the Jewish people, Nitasvu Orot Ba'Atzilut. More radiance is drawn into the world of Atzilut. Wonderful. So through the fact that the Jewish people pray to God with intensity, with great intensity, more and more spiritual radiance flows into the world of Atzilut. Avo mikol makom, but nonetheless, Hashrat Or Ein Sof. The indwelling of the radiance of the infinite. This indwelling of the radiance of the infinite. Who be'eses svirot in these ten sphere, the ten svirot of Atzilut. Ashehem b'chinat kelim beguf neged oin sof baruch hu ashore betocham. That, so all that is happening, what he's saying is that all that is happening is that at this level, radiance is flowing into this aspect of existence. But what about lower down? Is that so there is some kind of spiritual connection which is achieved through the spiritual service of the divine, which causes more radiance to come down into the world of Atzilut. But that's not the whole story of existence. What about down here in this physical world? God didn't only make the world of Atzilut. You see, for the Kabbalist, for the person who's praying from the Siddur Arizal, if you tell him or her, that if he's praying with deep kavanah, with deep feeling, and the effect of his prayer, because he feels or she feels such a deep dveikut, such a deep cleaving to the infinite divine, it's adding radiance to the world of Atzilut. He thinks, wow, how fantastic. I'm adding radiance to the world of Atzilut. But is that actually the reason why the world was created? Why this person's soul came into the world and why we're living? In order to add radiance to the world of Atzilut? Let's see how the discussion goes on. Line 2 on page Vav. V'lo zeu kavanat v'reishid, that is not the intention of the beginning of Allah b'rutzono atov leitiv livruav, the way it arose in God's mind, in His will, to do good to His creatures. Because sheyiyeit galut oro v'zivo lamata mamash, God's desire is that His divine radiance should be expressed below, in the physical world. Sheyeh chesed droa yemina, that there should be chesed, kindness is the right arm. Lamata ba'olam asiya mamash, below, in our physical world, down here. V'hayaguf u'droa yemina, and so the body, the physical body, the right arm, yekli lamata, it should be a vessel below, gam kein ba'olam asiya, in the world of action. Lahashrat oro ein sof, for the indwelling of the divine radiance. So in other words, if you give charity, if you do good deeds, if you help another person, someone's car is stuck in the snow, and you get out of your car and you start helping them, and you haven't got your gloves with you and your hands are all cold. That helping of the other person, that is the real way you bring the radiance of the infinite down into this world. So it's a completely different story to this sort of very ethereal thing that is achieved just through love and fear and spiritual qualities. It's bringing it right down, and that is through tzedakah in its broadest sense. Tzedakah, helping another person in all kinds of ways. It might be phoning someone up. You know, you haven't got time to phone them up. You're too busy or this or that. But you know that they need that phone call. And you phone them up, you know, and you give them that time. Or sometimes visiting a person. That's, you understand?
If the radiance goes in the world of Atzilut, it doesn't just trickle down?
Well, it doesn't trickle down by itself. It remains in the world of Atzilut. You see, the world of Atzilut is an ethereal world. Mm-hmm. So love and fear are ethereal qualities. So the ethereal love and fear trigger off radiance in the world of Atzilut. But actually giving charity, which is something physical, in this physical world, a physical coin, you work very hard, and now you've earned a certain amount of money, and so you know, you say, look, it says in the Torah I should give a tenth in charity. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to work out what it is after tax. Okay, so after tax, you then work out what you've actually got, and you look at the number, a tenth, and you say, okay, I'm going to give this. You can count school fees, incidentally, for a Jewish school. If you give school fees for a Jewish school, you can count that as part of the tenth, or more than the tenth. That's why some people give more than the tenth. But you're the actual giving of charity, and in general, to be a generous person, you know, in all kinds of ways, not only with money, with other aspects as well. That's what's bringing it down, because that is something relating to the physical world. It's drawing the radiance down into the physical world, and that's the purpose of existence. That is the purpose, and that is now. Now, line 7. V'davar zeh, now this thing, lo yavor, will not be achieved, af al yedei itpashtut hagashmiyut, even through, how would you translate, Eli, itpashtut hagashmiyut? stripping off physicality. A person gets so spiritual, they're like in a trance, you know, they can't feel, or they're beyond, you know, there's nothing apart from God. This is a value that Chabad actually teaches, to try and pray in such a spiritual way. It's a wonderful thing. But if you think that's the highest thing, then you're wrong. See, that you got to be able to balance. There's spiritual values and spiritual experience. But the person has to know what are the ultimate goals. And the ultimate goals is to bring this quality of the infinite down into this physical world. That's the ultimate goal. Incidentally, mitzvot, practical mitzvot, it doesn't talk about that much in this discourse, but practical mitzvot have that power as well. You do a mitzvah, a simple practical thing, that has a tangible effect on the physical universe, right here, the lowest level of existence. And spiritual qualities are very valuable, and they can fuel, and they can infuse, and inspire, and so on. But it's the actual practicality which is the real key. V'chol ha-dveikut sheyiyeh, and whatever dveikut is generally conceived as the, you know, very high spiritual attainment of cleaving to God. The person is inspired with godliness in a tremendous way. However much a level of dveikut there might be, lo yavo lidei itgalut kazeh, won't come to such a revelation. Al yedei itaruta dilatata va'ave v'yira, through the arousal from below, and love and fear. Whatever the level of stripping off one's physicality, dveikut, and love and fear, all that does not achieve what the practical fact of giving tzedakah does. V'hanashama kodim bo al haguf, and the soul before it came into the body. This is an argument which is proving his point. Hoyte gam ken dvuka, was also in a state of ecstatic bonding to God before the soul was born. So what was the point of being born? Why should the soul be born in this world? Before it's born, it's also cleaving to God. If the goal is dveikut, if the goal is to cleave to God, why be born? It's easier to cleave to God before we're born. And another point, v'ha'ofanim v'chayot mitnasim, there is a description of a vision of various angels, which we say in the blessings in the morning prayers. So there are these exalted angels which also are coming close to God. So if there are angels coming close to God, if there's a whole spiritual realm, why do you need us? Why do you need the physical? Sorry, it's page 7, number, page above, number 11, line number 11.
Which prayer is
it? Oh, which in Birkat Yotzer.
Remember this?
Where we say Kadosh, Kadosh, and then Vafon, the next line after. So in other words, If it's spiritual qualities that you're looking for, you don't need to have the creation of our physical world, and you don't need to have us going through all the problems that we have living here in this physical world, because you've got the spiritual qualities anyway. So, with all that, ma shebayit kalut vosafat orot batzilut levad, and when you just have the revelation and the increase of this radiance in the world of Atzilut, Ein nigmar kavanata machshava, you don't have yet the completion of the thought, the tovo, and the goodness of God, sha'ala b'rutzono leitiv libruav dafka, that it arose in God's thought to do good to His creations, who He's created here in this physical world. U'ba'atzilut b'lozeh, and if you have just atzilut without this, Iyu v'gamo echad, you have God unified, the radiance unified with the vessels, but it's all beyond. Achein, however, al yedei chesed utzdaka ba'aretz, through kindness and charity in the world, pizah natan le'evyonim, scattering one's money to poor people, al yedei shemashbiya mechaya, through the fact that you give, you give people, you keep people alive, leman de'leite megame, you give to those who haven't got, al yedei ze gorem, through that you cause, each one causes, sheyumshach v'yishre o ensof, that there should be drawn down, and the radiance of the infinite should dwell lamata mamash, below, in this world. V'yeh chesed ro'a yimina, and the right arm will be the be'olam asiyah mamash. The right arm will express kindness in the world of action. So the right arm expressing kindness expresses the arm giving charity or doing good things for other people.
So it means that if you do other physical type of mitzvot, it doesn't act, it's on the same level as the acts of kindness, because acts of kindness is dafka the right arm.
Yeah, although you see, tzedakah represents, charity represents all the mitzvah. So although it's particularly the concern for another person and giving to people who haven't got, the included in it are all the other mitzvah. So the very fact of doing a practical mitzvah, something which is here in the physical world, for example, we come into Hanukkah next week. So the idea of taking a Hanukkah lamp, lighting the Hanukkah lamp, you know, like it's fun, you know, and there's a child and you're doing it together. But it's still a practical, physical thing in this world, which is bringing that radiance of the infinite depth down into the world. It's, however, tzedakah, charity, has a certain extra dimension. It's like, It's everything, it's into physicality magnified in a way. I mean, one aspect of tzedakah is that it's like with raw material, materialism. What's the most material aspect of materialism? Money. And with tzedakah, you're using money to fulfill a mitzvah. And what kind of mitzvah is it? It's a mitzvah which is actually helping another person. The other person has some kind of need and you're giving them money. Like there was this poor chap who needed to get to Israel and you helped him get to Israel. That's a wonderful thing. You should appreciate what you're doing. That's wonderful. Now then he goes into an interesting concept. This is line 18. Kiliot chiyatem 18. The concept of the revival of the death, of the dead. One of the principles of faith that the Rambam wrote when he's trying to analyze what does Judaism actually believe, he wrote 13 principles of faith, and one of them is the idea that the Messiah will come, and the 13th, that's the 12th, and the 13th is the dead will be revived. That eventually, after, or at the same time, whatever, the time of the coming of the Messiah, there will be the concept of revival of the dead. You know, who will be revived? When? You know, eventually, the whole concept, the revival of the dead. Big building projects will be undertaken. What's the name of the company in Israel? Solel Bonin. Yeah. They're getting ready. Big plan. So now, in order to that, sheyakum aguf ma'keva v'yichyeh, that the body should actually get up from the grave and live. Now it looks very weird. But you know what? There are a lot of things that we do today. Like I could take out this phone from my pocket and I could phone someone in Australia and would be absolutely, totally unremarkable, you know. And what does that mean? It means that we're sitting here and we can talk to someone on the other side of the world. So it used to be thought that such a thing would only happen in the time of the Messiah. And then, you know, a few technological developments. So could well be the same with the revival of the dead. So, you know, everything when it happens, you know, on one level, it's very remarkable. You know, a flower growing is very remarkable, or it's nature. Same with everything. So for a person who had passed away and is buried in the grave, that he should arise and live, in order for that to happen, you've got to have a revelation of divine radiance below, in the grave, as it were. So, v'lachein, therefore it says, alzeh, it says about this, titkato amedet la'ad, the one who scatters his money, his righteousness stands forever. Ki hatzdakah osim Yisrael, because the righteousness, the charity that the Jewish people give, omedet bifnei atzma adei ad la'atid, stands by itself forever to the future. Va'az yavo be'itkalut, and then it'll be revealed. Al yedei ha'pizur shenatan, through the fact that the person scattered this money, shenatan le'evyonim, which he gave to poor people. Ye'agam ken namata, there will also be below, chesed roa yamina, the right hand, giving kindness, beguf gashmi, in a physical body. You got it? This is page Zayin. Yeah, at the top of the page it says Zayin. The chesed, the kindness, the divine kindness will be in the right arm here below. V'lo kamo shu ad hatchiyah. Not the way it will be before then. Sheyesh itgalut elokut be'eser sfirot elokut da'asiyah. Godliness is revealed in the 10 sfirot of the world of action. That in other words, godliness is only revealed to a certain level. But what we're talking about, v'zeo af bli ma'aseh ha'tachtonim, that's even if the people who live in the lower world don't do anything. So in other words, you could say that the godliness trickles down to a certain level. Yes, you asked about the godliness trickling down from Atzilut. It comes to a certain level, but it's still in the spiritual realm. For the godliness to enter the physical realm, that needs the physical action. It's our physical action which brings the godliness into the physical realm itself. And another point. The godliness coming down to this level happens by itself. That's the way God created the world, that there should be godliness in the world of Atzilut, and then there's godliness in the lower world, Briyah, creation and formation, action. So all that is happening by itself. We are not involved. In order for godliness to percolate into the physical world, that comes about because of something we human beings do. Now, this is a very interesting focus on the power of us as human beings, that we have the power to achieve something. God gives us that power, that we are able to draw godliness into the physicality of the world, which otherwise it wouldn't be there. It would be in the spiritual realms. It is in the spiritual realm. That's the nature of the spiritual realm. By definition, it's spiritual. It's not physical. So in the spiritual realm, there's divine radiance. There's nothing surprising about that. The surprising thing that we human beings achieve is that we bring godliness into the physical world, and it dwells here in our physical realm. And we do that through the physical things we do, in particularly the giving of charity. That's the focus here. So that's this striking line. The idea that godliness is in the spiritual structure of existence, line 5, line 6 now. The idea that godliness is in the spiritual structure happens without us. But for it to come down, mamash ba'olam asiya, line 6, that it should come down into the world of action, really, in real terms, zeo yefshal liyot l'ladinu. That's impossible to be without us. Al yedei tzedaka u'gumilut chasadim, through charity, doing of good deeds, she'osim that we do, l'hachiyot l'man d'leit l'migame, to keep alive a person who doesn't have anything of his own. Mamshichin lamata ba'olam asiyah, we draw down into the world of action, hitgalut elokut mamash, the real revelation of the divine. Now, of course, this is the way that God has set up the whole structure. But he set up the whole structure so that this bit depends on us. That's the crucial thing. If we, you see, that's the temptation of the Kabbalists. The temptation of the Kabbalists is to behave almost as if God didn't create the world. Beyond the world. Yes, it's wonderful to be so spiritual and ethereal. But in fact, there is a real world, and we have to be concerned about that real world. And it's through being concerned about it that we bring about the biggest spiritual revelation of all, of spirituality and holiness here in our physical realm. V'zeh omedet la'ad, and that's what it means, that this charity that we scatter generously stands forever, eternally for us. Kayom omedet ad la'atid. It stands today and it stands to the future. Sheyavo v'itkalut hatzdaka v'chesed, when the power of this charity is revealed, through, for example, Triyat HaMeitim, the revival of the dead. In other words, the world, the most physical level of the world, so to speak, I mean, you know, putting it into kind of a harshly graphic image, you know, the idea of a corpse buried in a grave, that should suddenly be quickened, be enlivened, come back to life. Like there's a description in chapter 37 of Ezekiel, that's about this field full of dead warriors, and suddenly they all come back to life, and he's watching this. So that idea of revival of the dead, that's an expression of godliness being revealed in the absolute lowest level of physicality. V'zeh sof ma'aseh b'machshavah tchila. This concluding concept is what arose at the very beginning in God's mind, so to speak. It arose in God's thought to do good to his creations, mamash, really, lamata mamash, in the lowest world. And that's what's meant sow, like sowing a grain in the field. Plant charity. At the time when we do the charity, it's like planting a seed in the world, in the field. You can't see what the power of this charity is till you get to the future. Then you reap. You reap what you've planted. And like at the time of reaping the field, all the good things are revealed. Kein yeh la'atid, so it'll be in the future. Yavo ha'chesed bitgalut mamash, the kindness will be revealed completely. Ba'olam asiyah yishkon, in our physical world. V'aguf, and the physical body will be kli la'or ein sof, a vessel for the radiance of the divine. V'yitalachti b'tochachem, and God will be among us. V'day la'mevin, it's enough for one who understands. See in the Zohar a certain place where it explains in a further concept here. Alright, now this actually is all quotation of Rabbi Shnazam. This whole thing that we read over here is the Rebbe quoting a discourse by Rabbi Shnazam. And you know, and it's a very hefty, concept.
At the end, the light goes directly in the world without going through all the sfiot. Is this what he's saying, or the yaguf kli leor ein sof?
Yeah, I think it's a direct expression of atzmuto yidbaruch, of the essence of godliness. Yeah.
Inside us.
Inside us, yes. Yeah, and inside everything in the world. Now, the next paragraph talks about this whole idea of unifying the upper level with the lower level. I mean, it's fascinating, but I think let's skip it. Now, on the next page, which is page Chet, he goes into a discussion about the 26 Hodu. The 26 Hodu Kilo Olam Chasto. Now the 26 Hodu is on another page. Right? Now this is actually from the Shabbat morning davening. And it's a psalm, Psalm 136, which praise God for His good, ki lolam chasto, His kindness is forever. Praise the God of gods, for His kindness is forever. Praise the Master of all masters, for His kindness is forever. Now, so you got here two pages, and if you count them all up, they're 26. And the fact that they're 26 is the numerical value of God's name. So it actually, in this siddur, like it, after the first 10, it puts the yud, then the next 5, it puts the hey, and then the next 6, it puts the vav, and then the next 5, it puts the hey. So as you're reading it, you can see, you know, this is the letter yud, the letter hey. So you're like going through God's name. This is also in the Haggadah, the Haggadah Shel Pesach. It's also there. So in other words, it's a very spiritual psalm. And we say it on Shabbat and festivals in the daily prayers, and in the Haggadah. It's like a spiritual thing. Now, in the next paragraph, he says, which is a section bet, he's quoting what the sages say, what do these 26 verses represent? They are the 26 generations that God created His world before He gave them the Torah, and He fed them by His kindness. And so even though these generations were bad, but after Dor Elu Hayu Machisim Uvan, even those generations were increasingly bad, nonetheless God is long-suffering and He was feeding them with His kindness. Now that's an interesting concept, that God should be so kind that even though the world was negative and people were doing negative things, He's still looking after the world. Now then it asks a question, because actually when we go into the details of what's described here, it's not only before the giving of the Torah, it also has things after the giving of the Torah. So it asks a question about that. Okay, I think we're going to skip. On page 10, it's a very long discourse, this, so I'm basically going to summarize things. On page 10, he talks about the way the terminology of the early Kabbalists and then the Kabbalah of Rabbi Isaac Luria. And what he's basically saying is that when the early Kabbalists speak about a very exalted level, and Rabbi Isaac Luria is trying to draw it down. It's as if the movement of the Kabbalah is from very subtle, ethereal concepts to coming down and down and down, closer and closer to the physical world, which is an interesting thing. And because the Hasidim, in fact, bring this far, you know, they bring everything into this world. The focus is on this world, whereas the Kabbalists are somehow talking up here in this sort of very remote, very, very, very remote from this world. What the Hasidim are interested in, and the later Kabbalists, is bringing it right down into the world. And Then, on page...
Is this something that is new with the Hasidim, kind of like a new important element in Jewish thought that the Hasidim really brought to the fore, or is it something you can find in
Well, I would say that in Chabad Hasidism, what is new is two things. One is talking on a very advanced level of the beyond, and the other is showing the connection of that to the physical. So they like go to the two ends. They go to the most exalted level beyond and the lowest level down. Whereas before then, the Kabbalists tend to be talking about the middle. It's the sort of middle range of spirituality. There's even a very beautiful image that the second Chabad Rebbe describes. It's an image of a circle. And here is the physical world. This level is the physicality. And this level is ultimate spirituality. So he says, if you keep the mitzvot down here, you're connected by the circle to the very highest level. Whereas if what you are trying to do is, you know, explore into the middle of the circle, so yes, you're at a very nice holy point, but you're not connected to the very highest point, because you can only get to the very highest point if you're down at the bottom dealing with the physical world. So by retreating from the physical and going into this like spiritual realm, you actually go to a lower level of holiness, even though you think you're on a higher level. So now we are moving. I'm going to be just paraphrasing. He goes into a discussion about two kinds of signet ring. You could have a signet ring where the image on the ring, I don't know if I can draw it. I've never tried to draw one before. Let's say that's the image on the ring somehow. We're looking at a cross section. It's sticking out. So when you press it into the wax, you make an indentation in the wax. You're making a hollow in the wax. Whereas if you have a signet ring, which is the other way around, the signet ring in cross section is a hollow, then when you press it into the wax, you get something projects. So he's describing this is really something which Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wrote about, and he says this is like our service of God. The person feeling great love for God, that's like the projection, but it causes like an indentation. Whereas if the person feels selflessness, the selflessness is more powerful. And when you then press it into the wax, you are getting something which is raised. So it's the selflessness of the person which has more power, and that selflessness is something which is more expressed in the giving of charity or helping another person. That's where one's selflessness is seen. You know, like the very word selfless. You know, he's a very selfless person. He'll do lots of things for another person. You know, that idea of selflessness is the more powerful way to connect with God. So he uses several different images for that. And what he then explains is that, you see, there are ways that we draw radiance, like more radiance in this realm. But then there's getting radiance which is beyond this realm. Selflessness is what enables you to draw a higher level of radiance. It's through selflessness that we can reach to the higher level and draw it down into the world. Being a mystic filled with spirituality, is somewhere around the middle level. You're dealing with the radiance in the middle level. You're not, or as we have with ourselves, you know, you're dealing with things over here. Whereas absolute selflessness is going to draw from that highest dimension. It's a lovely story my wife tells about a person. It's set with in Pesach time. So there was a person who a Hasid who decided he's going to have a really wonderful Pesach Seder. And he learned all the Kabbalistic things he's supposed to think about for Pesach. And he had this absolutely wonderful Pesach Seder. You know, he was really in the most spiritual realms. He was thinking about the most wonderful spiritual things. He read it all up in the Siddur of the Arizal and so on. And it was the most amazing experience. He felt as if he was floating on clouds. It was absolutely tremendous. That was the first Seder night. So then the next Seder night, the next day, he thinks, well, that was really wonderful spiritual achievement. I must try and do the same today and to this evening. So I'm going to lie down, have a good sleep so that I'll be refreshed and I'll be able to have a really wonderful Seder. However, whatever the reason, he didn't have an alarm clock or his wife didn't wake him up, whatever it might be, he overslept. And by the time he woke up, it was very close to midnight. Now, you have to eat the matzah before midnight, otherwise you haven't carried out the basic mitzvah of the Seder. Basic mitzvah, the most significant mitzvah of the Seder is eating matzah, and you must eat the matzah before midnight. And he woke up and it's nearly midnight. He's got to daven Ma'ariv, he's got to say Kiddush, he's got to quickly rattle through the Haggadah. And, you know, he did it all, and finally, thank God, you know, 1 minute to midnight, he had the matzah and he ate it. Oh, thank God. Anyway, but he then felt very bad. You know, I messed it up completely. I could have had such a beautiful mystical Seder like the first one. Anyway, sometime after Pesach, my wife tells it's beautiful. Sometime after Pesach, he went to his Hasidic Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, oh, let's say his name is Shlomo. Shlomo, what a wonderful Seder night you had. Oh, yeah Rebbe, the first night. First night? Ugh, the second night. That was so wonderful. In other words, the second night, when he's not thinking about anything, just he has to get the mitzvah done. That was much more powerful. The first night, where it's just really his own self that he's in there, you know, that was nothing. And his Rebbe could see. So there's the idea that through selflessness, one draws the radiance which is above the downchaining of the worlds, and also through the power of tshuva, of repentance. Now, repentance can be, you know, nowadays we use the word repentance to mean, you know, a person makes a little step. They start doing something they didn't do before. Let's say, you know, they had a mezuzah on the front door, but they didn't have on another door. Then they think, you know what, we really should get mezuzah for the other doors, and they go and they get, and they have nice checked, you know, good mezuzah, and they put them up. But there's another kind of repentance, where the person gets really tzebrochen, he thinks, oh, how could I have done such a terrible thing? And really feels bad about it. Now that power, first of all, the first thing of making another step, that's also tremendously powerful. But when the person feels, how could I have done it? And as a result of this, they do something positively good in this world, that's also drawing down a radiance of the infinite from a much higher level. And that explains. Oh, now, so then there's a further level. Selflessness is expressed in the giving of charity, and when you're talking about this flow of intense radiance, there's an interesting issue about the radiance going haphazard. It's like dealing with energy. And these Kabbalistic discourses, you know, they talk about it as if you were dealing with uncontrolled energy. You have to be able to somehow protect the flow, that it should flow in the right way. Now, the giving of charity This is discussed in Tanya. The giving in part 4, chapter 5, the giving of, I think, the giving of charity has a protective power. So although you're dealing with a very powerful radiance, you're dealing with it in a protected way. And it's as if there is a radiance flowing through and you're like stopping up the hole so that the radiance doesn't flow in the wrong. It's like described as chain mail. That the chain mail, the armor, is there in order to protect that the radiance should flow in the right way. And it's as if the coins you give in charity become the chain mail. So chain mail, so the charity that a person gives both draws radiance from an infinitely high level and also protects that radiance. It should come down in the right way, in the right force. So then, if we move pretty close to the end, page Tetzain, page 16, Tetzain. Yeah. Now we got in the middle of the page Vezehu. Vezehu gam kemash amru rabbeinu zal. That's why the sages said these 26 hodu, these 20, you know, the 26 praises of God. They are the 26 generations that God created before He gave the Torah, and it's also including things which are after the giving of the Torah. It's because the idea of this chesed, this kindness, it starts off at a level which is beyond the downchaining of the worlds, beyond the Torah, so to speak. And then it should come down into the level where there is the downchaining of the worlds and there is the Torah, right down into this physical world. So in other words, the 26 blessings, these 26 expressions of God's kindness, start at a level before the Torah, but come down into our world after the Torah, because the whole idea is to bring this flow of ultimate godliness down into this world. So if we move to Zion, Vezeo gam ke mashakatov, and that's also why it's written, he scattered money to the poor, his righteousness stands forever. Because through the service of tzedakah, one draws down a radiance which is without limit, from beyond the downchaining of the world, that it should be drawn down below. And this is through doing tzedakah without limit. Now that's a fascinating concept. Doing tzedakah without limit, giving tzedakah without limit. That means that the giving of the charity, move on to page 17, is not only a tenth, or a fifth, or more than a fifth, but the concept of judgment and tzedakah. The person, she'shofet et atzmo ma shemuchrach lo, he judges himself what he needs to have, and the vahasha noten et tzedakah, and the rest he gives in charity. Okay, here we're talking about a level which is beyond most of us. I never met him. I didn't have the schut to meet him. But there was a man in London, a wealthy businessman. He said, you know what it means, the tenth and tzedakah? You leave yourself a tenth. And he was a very wealthy man. That's precisely what he did. He worked out how much he had, and he took a tenth, and the rest he gave away. And you know, very special person. You could say, you know, the tenth that he left himself, because he was, thank God, very wealthy, so the tenth that he left himself was enough to live comfortably. But he had no interest in living in extra luxury. He lived in such a way that he had what he needed. It had a nice car, he had a nice home, and so on. He had money to, you know, help his children. But he wasn't interested in gathering more things. He saw that the giving of charity is in fact the real a permanent benefit for the soul. Having a third car, man, and so now, how can you have boundless giving of tzedakah? Well, one way, in a sense, is when it's not just a matter of the money that a person gives. It's the way they live. That a person lives in such a way that their life is lived a life of dedication, giving to others. So it's not something you can measure. It's that all the time this person's concern is to help another person. And you know, that's how I understand it. It's not only the giving of money. Now, so then there's a concept. You see, it says in the Talmud looks a little bit different, I must tell you. The Talmud, first of all, says a person shouldn't give more than a fifth of his money in charity. So that would seem to be an argument against this position. Also, the Talmud says, if you have two people, and only one flask of water, and it's your flask of water, and you need all that water in order to live, you drink that water because it belongs to you. Right? Chayecha kodmin, your life comes first.
In a situation where it's either you or the other person, you have to choose yourself.
That's what it says in the Talmud. Mm. I have a cousin who was a bit older than me, and she was in, first they were in Siberia, they were in Poland, then they were the Nazis, then they crossed over the border into Russia, and they were in Siberia. And then somehow from Siberia they got to Tashkent. Not to Tashkent, to Bukhara. To Bukhara, and in Bukhara there was starvation. Tremendous starvation. Now when they'd been in Siberia, her father would tell them stories. And he would tell them that he was a Gera Chassid. He would tell them stories from the Zohar, she said. And he told them about this idea, you know, what happens if you have a flask of water and the other person doesn't have the flask of water, but they need the flask of water. He told them to do something against the Talmud. He said, it's divine providence that the other person has met you so that you can give him water that he should be able to live. So therefore you give him the water and you trust in God that you'll be alright. That's what he told him. Anyway, so some years later they are there in Bukhara and they're on a bread line. She is on a bread line. She's like 7 years old. She used to lie on the ground in at night looking up at the stars. And she would wonder if there is another girl 7 years old looking up at the stars who is not hungry. Because they were starving. She was so hungry. And so she is waiting on a bread line, hours and hours and hours, and finally it's her turn, she's given a loaf of bread. And she's running home with a loaf of bread. And a man comes over to her with eyes which are so passionate, says, give me that bread, I'm starving. And she remembers what her father had said. And she throws the bread to him. And she runs home crying. She gets home, her mother, whom I knew, her mother says, where's the bread? And she says what happened. And her mother began, what? You gave away the bread. What about your little brother? This, that, and the other. But she said her father was pleased. She could see there were two tears in his eyes. He was pleased at what she'd done. Anyway, about 2 months later, the man that she'd given the bread to came to their house. He said, I have some passes, I can't remember what they were called, like green cards or white cards, to go to Israel. Would you like? So he saved them, and the whole family went to Israel.
Wow. So, yeah.
So what the Rebbe is saying here is that the whole equation, what the Talmud says, so in other words, the Talmudic idea that if it's your flask of water, you hold on to it, it doesn't always hold like that. And you have people who will say no. And the Rebbe is here quoting what it says in Tanya, that if it's absolutely equal, there's one flask of water and the other person, you know, there's you and the other person, you both need the flask of water equally. But what about if it's not like that? What about if you need the money that you have and you've got warm clothes and you've got meat and you've got this and you've got that? You know, you've got a whole lovely family which is relatively comfortable. And there's another person who is starving and needs bread and water. You can't say, I need this. You have to say, wait a minute, this person is starving. I can't just enjoy the plate of meat and the different helpings of dessert. And I've got to worry about that other person. So it's a different way of looking. I mean, it's actually a way of analyzing the Talmud, which evaluates, is it really this, is it really equal? The way that you posit for yourself. So therefore, this is the power. This is the power of giving charity, which brings down this infinite radiance. And if you just look at the last page, and the last paragraph on the last page. Through drawing down, vazeu, and that is, right, the very last paragraph, the whole thing. And that is, pizza natan lev yonim, he scatters his money to the poor, tzidkato medet la'ad, his righteousness stands forever, kano tarum bekavod, this was another verse that was, another part of the verse, which was explained in the body of the discourse, his horn rises with glory. That just as the tzedakah is in a way of scattering, of generosity, that means bli gvul, without limit. So therefore, mamshichim or bli gvul lamata, one draws down an infinite radiance below. But now the infinite radiance is hidden. V'yitgale la'atid, it'll be revealed in the future. And that's what it means, omedet la'ad, your righteousness stands forever. Now it stands. It's not drawn to be revealed. Ad le'atid lavo, till the future, ba'olam atchiyah, in the world of the rebel, the revival of the dead. Linshamot begufim ba'olam hazeh, souls in bodies in this world. She'az yitkale ha'or, and then the radiance will be revealed. And that means Mesayim Karnu Tarum B'Chavod, lifting up the horn in glory like a horn of an ox. Karno Kai Al Knesset Yisrael. This horn refers to the Jewish people, Val Kol Echad Ve'Echad Yisrael Bifrat, and every individual Jew. Asher Rak HaKeren Yisrael Lerum. The horn of Israel is lifted. That means the horn of Israel is lifted. That it doesn't cause a splashing of this to external forces. That, in other words, that this infinite radiance which flows down is not in an unguided way, but it's in a guided way. The flow should be b'makom ha'ra'oi, in the fitting place, liyisrael dafka, to the Jewish people. And from the Jewish people it goes to the world in a way which heals the world and strengthens the world in a wholesome way, rather than causing chaos in the world. Because when you have infinite abundance, it can cause destructive responses. And so therefore, by this abundance coming through the Jewish people and through the Jewish people to the world, that is the way there's a world of harmony with this very exalted dimension of godliness achieved through the generosity, the giving of charity, and the total dedication of the individual Jew. Okay, well, it's introduced very exalted concept.